Welcome to those that are joining us today. We're continuing in Meshivat Nefesh, Restore My Soul. We're up to the section that's based on excerpts from Likutei Halachos, which is the magnum opus of Rav Nosson Zal, the main student of Rabbi Nachman. And we're up to paragraph 79, which is based on the section of Likutei Halachos that's entitled Chish and Mishpat, the laws of partnerships, dividing up partnerships, Chalukas Shutfis, Halacha Hey, chapter 5, paragraphs 6 and 8. Lefomim ha'odom nichnas l'avodas Hashem. At times, a person makes a new start in trying to serve Hashem, umaschilalois midarga ladarga, and the person starts rising, climbing from level to level, advancing. Upitom nidmeloi shehunisrachek meagdusha ma'oid lebechinas katzvei oretz veyom rachoikim, and suddenly the person experiences such a fall that it appears to them as if they've gone literally to the other end of the world, you know, a tremendous nosedive. Ki roye shechoizrin voilen al machshavtoi, machshovois, v'taivois, v'hurhurim, mashaloyolu al machshavtoi ze kamo yomim oishonim. Because the person suddenly sees that thoughts are entering into their mind, thoughts and desires that are coming from a very bad place, things that the person had cut off from already for a period of days or sometimes years, and the person thought that this was gone, they were finished with this totally, and suddenly it comes back in full force. And therefore the person, it seems to the person that, wow, who knows, I must have fallen, like jumping out of a plane and landed on the ground, and I could never, who knows how many years or lifetimes it'll take me to ever get back up there. The person should not get discouraged by this. Because at times, this kind of thing happens to a person in order for the true purpose of helping that person get to their ultimate success. Because what really is happening with this person actually did advance tremendously and made tremendous, tremendous progress to the point where they've almost finished a certain climb and they're about to be able to enter into a new sphere of Kedusha completely. Alkane, and therefore, Ief Shaloi Lichnois Lisham, it's impossible for the person to be able to enter into that new place of Kedusha, Atshe Yachsor Veyelech Derech HaMekoimois HaPigumim Shoyesham Betchila, unless the person is able to go back to the places that they were months ago or years ago when they were in a very bad place spiritually. They were in a very, exactly, and for the person to go through comparable experiences to what they had at that time when they weren't doing well, and this time do it over correctly. Whereby the person is given an opportunity, they're put back, way, way back into a place of tumah, into a place of Yerida, where they were weeks ago or months ago or years ago, and they're put through tests where they're given the opportunity to repeat the same mistakes they made at that time, to commit the same sins again. And if they choose not to, if they make the right decision, the right choice, and they avoid making the same mistakes, what happens is they're given the privilege of being able to correct completely the crimes that they had done in the past. Because we know that in terms of the Kabbalistic terminology that's used, the Arizal and the other Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that when a Jew commits sins, they cause sparks of Kedusha to fall into the hands of Tumah, into the Sitrachra, into a bad place. When a person does tshuva, real tshuva, the true success of tshuva is not only the person changing their ways, but actually going back, finding those sparks of Kedusha that they had caused to go astray and to fall into the mud, being able to gather up those sparks and return them to the Kedusha. And the way that happens is by the person being put back into that same situation, as we said, and the person is tested again in a very similar manner to the kind of tests they had before. And if they choose correctly, if they make the right decision and they pass the test, that gives them, that wipes the slate totally clean. And that gives them the schus, the merit of being allowed to grab hold of the sparks of Kedusha that they caused to fall before and restore them, return them to a good place. And there are tremendous accomplishments spiritually that happen through this. Bebechinas Ktoiris, on the level of the holiest sacrifice that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the sacrifice of Ktoiris, which was made up of 10 sweet-smelling spices, and one, an 11th one, which had a very bad odor to it, a foul odor to it, called Chelbana. And part of the significance of this Ktoiris, what made it the most important sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, was the fact that it accomplished, it showed, and it actually performed, taking something bad, the Chelbana, which represented a Tumah, a Sitra Achra, a bad thing, and bringing it into the Kedusha, bringing it into a minyan, 10 different spices, sweet-smelling spices, good-smelling spices, and the whole thing together, being able to bring a sweet aroma to Hashem, an aroma that was incredibly satisfying to Hashem. V'oz yizke lichnois l'pnimius ha'kedusha mamish. And if the person does this and comes out of this the right way, then the person is worthy and able to enter into the essence of Kedusha, the real essence of Kedusha. Ki ze ikar tanuga v'sha'ashua v'yisborach, because this is the true pleasure and enjoyment of Hashem. Kishemalin hanitzutzois hagdoishe me'im ke'aklipois, when a person returns to Hashem sparks of Kedusha that had fallen out of the realm of Kedusha, out of the realm of holiness, they've fallen into the hands of Tumah, impurity, into a bad place, and a person is able to go back, retrieve them, restore them, bring them back into the Kedusha, this is the true, true pleasure of Hashem. V'yochoy liyois, kishenesrache kodom biyoyser, v'yafal pikein hum mamshechatz me'el Hashem Yisborach b'chol pam, and it's quite possible when a person is experiencing a tremendous yerida, when a person has become very distant from Hashem, and despite that, the person doesn't get discouraged, they don't quit, they don't say, forget it, I can't, but rather the person keeps trying repeatedly to draw themselves close to Hashem, shiyekabel Hashem Yisborach mimenu nachas ruach godol moed, that Hashem should be able to derive from such a person incredible, incredible satisfaction. Kimeachar shehu b'mekoymoi sorechoike moed, umam shechatzmoi mishom l'Hashem Yisborach, because of the fact that this person finds themselves very distant from Hashem, or they're feeling very distant from Hashem, and despite that, the person keeps at it, they keep trying to come close, they keep wanting to come close. Azai b'chol tenua utenua, uv'chol hamshocha v'hamshocha, hu goyrem shashuim gedoilem l'Hashem Yisborach. Such a person, with every move that they make, And with every effort of trying to come close that they make, they bring about incredible, incredible pleasure to Hashem. V'im yiyeh chozok b'daitoy limshech es atzmoy tomid el Hashem yizborach yiyeh sheyiyeh, and if the person will be firm and determined that no matter what kind of ups and downs I go through, no matter how far I'm feeling, I'm going to keep trying to come close. There's no alternative for me. There's no two choices. I have only one choice, to keep trying to move forward, to get closer to Hashem. Azai soif kol soif yachmoy lolav Hashem yisborach. Then eventually, Hashem will definitely have pity on the person. V'yichnois al yidei ze daiko lifnim mamish latoich beis hakdusha. And that person will definitely, eventually, succeed in entering way, way inside the realm of holiness and closeness to Hashem. This is an elaboration on a statement in the Gemara where the Gemara says, "B'mokim shebalei tshuva imdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamoid." That we know that when you have a righteous person, a religious person, a person who's been raised religious from birth, and this is what they know, this is the path they've gone on, and they've basically kept on this road, you know, without any major deviations throughout their life, Hashem gets pleasure from such a person. It's nice, it's wonderful, it's sweet. But the Gemara tells us it can't be compared to the type of pleasure and satisfaction that Hashem has from a person who was in a completely different place, very far from Hashem, and was able to make the move, the jump, the transition, the change, to be able to change from the past and come into a new future, which requires tremendous determination. Because whenever a person wants to make a change, it's hard. When you have a person who has a problem with eating, overeating, and that person decides to go on a diet or to change their habits, their eating habits, we know from what we hear from people's experiences that it's an incredible uphill battle. And a person who's used to overeating, you know, their whole life, for them to change, it's extremely hard. And sometimes they'll do it for a couple of days, a week, and then they'll fall back. It's just, couldn't hold on. And they'll fall. And when they fall, that's when you really, really see who the person is and how honest and sincere the person is. Because if a person is really honest and sincere and they believe that this is the right thing to do, that it's wrong, it's unhealthy, and it's wrong for many reasons for a person to be overweight, then it doesn't matter. If I made a mistake, so what? That doesn't give me a license to say, forget this. If I overeat once, that doesn't give me permission to overeat a second time or a third time. If I ate something unhealthy once, the Gemara says, a person who ate garlic and their mouth is giving off a very strong odor that repels people, and the person sees that people are repelled, what are they going to do? They're going to eat more garlic to make it better? If a person sees they did something wrong, you know, then at that point, you start again. You try, from now on, I'll try to do it right. And even if, while I'm saying this, I know that it's very, very possible that in 3 days I'll get it wrong, so what? Every minute that I'm doing it right, not just every minute I'm doing it right, but every ounce of effort that I'm putting into doing the right thing, even the good desire, the fact that I want to do the right thing, Hashem, who sees inside of a person, obviously that's what he wants. Rather than wanting to see a person who's looking for an excuse to give up, to quit. And the first moment that something goes wrong, the first moment or the tenth moment, forget it, I can't, I tried, I can't. All the different excuses for a person to quit. So here Rav Nosson Zal makes it so emphatically clear that a person should know that this is what to expect. This is reality, that in 99.99% of cases, or maybe even 100% of cases, a person who wants to climb in Kiddusha, whether it be a person who's coming from a non-religious place, going to a religious place, or a person who's religious and makes a decision to become more religious, the person has to expect that part of the process is going to require that at times, the person's going to get slammed out of the ring. They're going to feel literally that they got thrown way, way out. And one of the reasons why that's going to happen is to give the person a test and to give the person an opportunity to really prove who they are and to give the person a chance to correct things of the past, which there is just about no other way to do it other than being sent back down. Person has to be sent back down to that place of tumah, to that place of sin that they were in a couple of days ago or a couple of years ago, whenever it was. And if the person goes there and goes through an experience there and comes out of it successful, then that person shows that they're worthy of being invited way inside into the throne room of Hashem, into the Pnimiyus HaKdusha, as Rav Nosson Zal calls it here. The next paragraph, which is entitled paragraph 83, even though the paragraph we did before was 79, the new paragraph is entitled 83. Could be it's possible that somehow along the way, part of this book, some of the pages were missing or somehow got lost, but this is the numbering that we see here. This paragraph is based on Likutei Halachos, the section entitled Yoredeah, and it's the laws of Pidyon Bechor, the laws of redeeming a firstborn. Chapter 5, Halacha Hey, paragraph 33. Omru Rabbi Seinu Zechron Levracha, our rabbis in the Gemara, in the Talmud, make a statement, Ein mechazkin ela mechuzokin, ve'ein mezarzin ela mezairozin. We only give encouragement to those who are incorrigible. And we only try to motivate and inspire those who are looking for, those who are capable of being inspired. V'lechoyra eina muvan. Rav Nosson Zal says this statement seems to be paradoxical. Ki im kein meheichon ha'aschola. Because if that's the case, where do you begin? How do you start? If you're telling me we don't give encouragement other than to a person who's really looking for encouragement, how's a person supposed to get started? Ukvar mevoyer bedvoreinu b'mokam acher. It's already been discussed in other places in our writings. Sheyesh kamo dvorim b'avodas Hashem shem tluyim ze boze ve'ein yoyde mehechon haschola. That there are several items in religion, in kiddush and holiness, where A is dependent on B, and B is dependent on A in some ways, and sometimes it's very hard to figure out where's a person supposed to begin. Where is it a logical progression? Where do you start from? If I'm told that A depends on B and B depends on A to a degree, ach be'emes kol ha'haschola v'ho'emtzo v'hasoif v'hatachlus shelanu. Hakol hu rak al yedei hatzadik hu emes shebechol dor, shehu bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, shehu hayo harebi orishin shel kol Yisrael, umimenu ha'aschola, ve'etzloi kol tachliseinu v'tikvoseinu. However, Rav Nosson Zal points out, the truth is, the fact is, that a Jew who wants to come close to Hashem, their beginning, and their middle, and their end, and their goal are all dependent on the true tzaddik of the generation, who is compared to, who is an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first rabbi of the Jewish nation as a whole, and he was the beginning, and our whole hope and future and our being able to realize our goals depends on him. Because the Pasuk says in Koheles, that which was is that which is going to be. In other words, the same one who led us in the past, Moshe Rabbeinu, is the one who is going to lead us in the future, when Moshiach comes. It's brought that the first letters of Ma Shehoyo Hu spell the word Moshe. And that's talking about specifically this person who was the leader of the Jewish people when they were first established as a nation, when we came out of Egypt as a nation and started going through the desert and received the Torah on Har Sinai. This leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, is the leader that's going to be with us throughout all generations. The leading tzaddik in every single generation is an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. He has some of Moshe Rabbeinu inside of him. Spiritually, v'ha'scholo shel tzaddik ho'emes p'chinas Moshe bi'atzmoi bevadai yef shelonu lahasik klal. And as far as a person wanting to figure out, well, hold on a second. How did Moshe Rabbeinu get started? How did he become Moshe Rabbeinu? That's something that we really can't understand completely. Ve'ein lanu laharher bozeh klal. And we're not supposed to try to delve into that too deeply. Eich zocho yilud isho lahasoga kazois. That how in the world did a human being achieve such an incredible height spiritually as Moshe Rabbeinu did? However, once we know that we were privileged to receive the Torah on Mount Sinai via Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have the privilege of having the wisdom, the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu taught to the Jews in his generation, being transmitted to us throughout every single generation by the leading tzaddikim of that generation, that gives us a starting point. That gives us where to begin, where to jump on the train. Because even from our youth, we're brought into the holiness of Judaism. A child is circumcised at the age of 8 days, right in the beginning. And then even from a young age, even before the person is technically obligated to fulfill mitzvahs, the parents educate, they train the child, even at a young age, to practice Torah, the study of Torah, and performance of mitzvahs. And therefore, each and every one of us certainly has what to draw encouragement from in the fact that we were privileged to be born and raised in the holiness of Judaism, and we believe in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the words of the true tzaddikim who followed him, who came after him, and these tzaddikim are always encouraging us to trust in the kindness of Hashem. And despite the fact that the entire Jewish nation as a whole, and each and every single individual one of us has been through what we've been through, we've gone through a lot of rough things, the tzaddikim are always warning us not to give up, and to trust in Hashem. Ki Hashem itonu al tirom. Hashem is with us, and therefore we have no reason to fear the enemies. Ki adayin adayin Hashem imonu. Because the tzaddikim are always telling us in every different kind of way that Hashem is with us and near us and close to us at all times. Because Hashem's glory fills the entire universe. And our love for Hashem is still there, is still strong, and Hashem's love for us is still strong. And through the fact that we believe in and we draw encouragement from the words of these true tzaddikim, Shekvar torchu v'hisyagu b'shvileinu harbe l'karei v'yisonu l'avodas Hashem, these tzaddikim who have struggled and worked very hard on our behalf to bring us close to Hashem, ha'ideize yecholin gam anachnu lizkois lehores harotzen nigdusha. This is what makes it possible for us to be worthy of feeling a strong desire for holiness. That our desire, our goal, should be to yearn very strongly for Hashem with tremendous desire and yearning. Ve'oz, and when a person does this, kol ma shehorotzoin mizgadel u'mispashet yoitzer, the more that the person's desire for to come close to Hashem gets stronger and spreads, the more encouraged that person is. Because some of the most powerful encouragement that a person has to come close to Hashem, to do the right thing, comes from the fact that they still feel that they want to, that this is what they want to be doing. I want to come close to Hashem. Because a person's desire is something that they're free to have, always. The Satan, the Yetzer Hara, can't handcuff your desire. He can block you sometimes from carrying out, from fulfilling a certain item that you want to do. You want to accomplish a certain item. You want to learn these 10 pages. The Satan can block you from achieving that goal. But he can't block you from wanting to achieve that goal, from having a desire, an intense desire, and not letting that desire go. No matter what obstacles I'm experiencing, no matter what setbacks I'm having, no matter how well I'm doing or not doing, I want to do good. Because no matter what, afal pikein ritzoneinu v'chisufeinu chozok moideil v'isborach, because no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm experiencing, my desire and my yearning is very intense in that I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. I want to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the more the person is able to encourage themselves to keep trying, to hang in there, the stronger their desire gets. Va'oz mischazek oid yoyser v'chein lahalon. Rav Nosson Zal is showing us that these two things feed on each other, the desire and the encouragement. The more a person is able to turn up the volume, to intensify their desire to come close to Hashem, their desire to do good, that itself serves to encourage the person to hang in there. Because the person sees, hey, I'm still here, I still want. And the more encouragement that the person has, the more they can intensify the desire even still further. And these two keep feeding on each other and leading the person upward. Hubemis lehoras harotzon shubachinas yira kemavur bifnim yuchal kol odom lizkois bekal. And Rav Nosson Zal says the truth is, for a person to be zeiche to he'oras harotzoin, this is a term that Rabbi Nachman uses in Likutei Moran, in chapter 7, in the second half of Likutei Moran, and in some other places, where the person feels a flow of desire for Hashem, a yearning to do the right thing. This item is very closely associated with respect for Hashem, with yira. There's a pasuk, ritzoin yirei of yaseh. Yira breeds rotzoin. Yira creates rotzoin. Ritzoin yirei of yaseh. Yuchal kolodom lisko is bekal. And this is something that every single person, whether the person is learned or not learned, whether the person is advanced or a beginner, every single person has the ability to get to this he'oras harotzoin, this flow of desire, of wanting to come close to Hashem. Ki harotzoin chofshi lo'olam. Because this desire is something that's always available. Chofshi means it's available, it's free, it's accessible. If you want, you can tap into it. Rak she'tzorech she'yeh ish chayil u'lizchazik bozeh mo'id. However, on one hand, the person has to be tough and firm and steadfast, and to encourage, to get the encouragement that they need. V'zeh tolui bozeh. And these two are dependent on each other. Ki ein mechazkin elo mechuzokin. Because as the Gemara makes the statement, we only give encouragement to one who is incorrigible. Vahascholo hu rak bekoyach uzchus hatzadiki emes. And as far as a person making a beginning, any serious beginning in coming close to Hashem, or in starting to climb on a new level of coming close to Hashem, it depends, it's dependent on the merit and the power of the true tzaddikim, sheyogu kol kach bavodas Hashem, who struggled and worked so hard at becoming religious and at becoming more religious and growing, rising in holiness, ad shehimshichu das kozer, to the point where they were able to achieve a level of understanding, shaydeze yecholin hakol hischazek velisko isloros harotzain, ulischazek aydeze bioiser vechein lahalon kanal, to the point where they're able to inspire their students and their people that are close to them to be encouraged and motivated to want to feel a true desire to come close to Hashem and to have the encouragement to continue on that path and higher level of desire and more encouragement, etc., etc. V'alkein, and now we can understand a very famous statement that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Torah. The Torah tells us at one point that Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'ato Yisrael, and now, Jews, Mo Hashem Alekecha Shoel Mimoch, what is Hashem asking of you? Kim Liyira, the only thing Hashem is asking you is for some respect. So Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein Yofe Omar Moshe, based on what we're discussing here till now, you could understand how Moshe Rabbeinu's words were very, very appropriate. V'omra Zal, and the Gemara tells us, why did Moshe Rabbeinu seem to make light of this? All Hashem is asking of you is respect. That's all? It makes it sound like it's some tiny little thing. When there's a pasuk that says, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, that Yiras Hashem is above Chachma. Yiras Hashem isn't a simple thing. It's, you know, on one hand, we seem to be told that it's among the most difficult things in the world to come by. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu say, and now all Hashem wants from you is just simply Liyira? Vom Razal, and the Gemara answers this by saying, Legapi Moshe, Yira Milsa Zutrusa. Sure, for regular people, Yira is something very, very difficult to come by. But to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was easy. Hainu. Now let's analyze this statement. Vi'ato. Moshe Rabbeinu begins the statement by saying vi'ato. And now. What does he mean by now? What is he emphasizing by now? Now. Achar shekvar torachti v'yogati b'shvilchem kol kach kemavur b'parshis hakoidman. Now that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, have been through everything I've been through for you people, to try so hard to bring Hashem close to you and to bring you close to Hashem, as is elaborated on the earlier chapters in the Torah, ad shezuchisi lahasoga v'das kozeh, to the point where I rose to such a level of understanding of Hashem and closeness to Hashem, whereby asher yira milsa zutrus l'gabi Moshe, where to me, based on the level that I'm on, to me, yiras Hashem is like a little thing, is easy. Al kein yesh lochem gam kein yesoid chozok v'haschola toivo shetuchlu l'schazei kol kach al yedei horas daiti shani meir bochem ad shetizku gam kein lehoras arotzoin ulira gdoila nimshech meyoras adas shel atzadik emes. Therefore, you, B'nai Yisrael, you, the Jewish people, should not, you also have a fantastic foundation and a beginning to enable you to be encouraged to such a point through the great das, the great understanding of Hashem that I pass on to you, you have the ability to be worthy of this he'oras harotzon, of feeling a flow of deep desire for Hashem, and yira gedoil, and great, great respect for Hashem, hanimshach mehoras hadas shel atzadik u'emes, which are some of the products of the das of the true tzaddik, when the true tzaddik shines his das into a person, that person receives yiras Hashem, that person receives encouragement. Ad asher be'emes, gam etzleinu achshav benokei lanu lizkos l'madrega zu, shetia hayira milsa zutrisa gam etzleinu. To the point where even we, the Jewish people, if we come close to Moshe Rabbeinu and if we draw das from him, then even to us, it could become relatively easy to achieve this level of yira, to the point where yira could be like a minor item to us. Al yidei shenizke lehischazek b'emes b'koyach ha'aschol ha'gdoshet shel Moshe Rabbeinu v'shel kol ha'tzadik emes ha'boi ma'achrov. By our being able to feel encouraged and inspired by the great beginning that Moshe Rabbeinu and all the true tzaddikim have made for us. How they've trodden out the path for us. They're the ones who paved the way for us and made it easier, much, much easier for us to get started, to get going in terms of coming close to Hashem. The next paragraph, 84, a short paragraph, is based on Likutei Halachos Yoredeya, the laws regarding a firstborn of a kosher animal, chapter 4, Halacha Dalet, paragraph Yud Dalet. Afilu mi shenofal moed chas v'sholem. Afilu im nofal averes chas v'sholem. Tzorech gam kein sheyi elo yira gedoilo me Hashem yisborach. Rav Nosson Zal tells us, even a person who fell tremendously, spiritually, even if a person fell to a point where they're doing many sins, even such a person has to have fear and respect for Hashem. Lehischazek es atzmoy b'chol nekuda nekuda shiuchal amalei tesnaf shemira v'limshech es atzmoy leize toiv. For that person, whenever their mind gets clear for a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, not to say, forget it, I'm in the mud, it doesn't matter. It's nothing like that. Even if a person is swimming in sins, the moment the person gets a little rational, a little normal, it is proper for that person to feel some respect for Hashem and to try to do whatever they can to minimize, to lessen the amount of sins, the amount of harm that they're doing to themselves and to mankind. Val yiftor es atzmoy me'achar shekvar nofal kol kach im kein huter lo yakol chas v'shalom. And the person shouldn't excuse themselves in any way by saying, well, if I've fallen this far down, then forget it, everything goes. Cholila, that's not true. Loy tehei kozois b'Yisrael. That's not acceptable in Judaism. If a person takes that attitude, the attitude is a non-Jew, it's something that has no place within the sphere of Judaism. For a person to say, I've gone this far down, at this point there's nothing I can really do to help myself, to stop myself, to break my fall, to slow things down. Rav Nosson Zal once made a comment that there are people who say that if you're going to eat unkosher meat, you know, fat, delicious piece of unkosher meat, then at least get your money's worth. Eat enough that it should run down your beard. And Rav Nosson Zal said, and I say that if a person is going to eat unkosher meat, if they have a choice of eating 16 ounces or 15 and a half ounces, there's a very big difference between the two. If a person has the ability to lessen it even a little bit, that's very important. Ki ein choshech. I mentioned an example in passing. Those that study self-defense, the art of fighting, etc., one of the things a person learns is how to break their fall. Now, a person would say, hey, this is ridiculous. I didn't come here to learn how to fight. I came here to learn how to kill people, how to beat people up, you know, how to win. Why in the world am I taking time out and practice to learn how to fall? And again, if I'm falling, or if falling, then what I come here, then forget it. Then what's the purpose of all of this? No, there's a whole major, major science. There's a whole major learning whereby if a person learns how to lessen the fall, there are some people that true, when they fall in a certain way that it's permanent. Because they let go completely. They're not thinking of trying to salvage whatever they still can and trying to say. So such a person, for them, a fall is a final blow. Whereas there are other people who could fall 20 times in a fight and end up winning the fight, winning the battle. Because each time they fell, they were never in a mode of giving up or letting go completely or nothing like that. For a moment I lost it, or for a moment I was under, so what? I'll try to minimize the fall, minimize the damage, damage control, and be ready to jump right back up and pounce again and keep coming and keep coming and hope that my stamina and my determination will eventually overcome. Ki ein choshech ve'ein salmoves lehisoser sham kol poel yoven. Because as the pasuk says, there is no darkness, there is no place dark enough for any of us to hide from Hashem. So it's not like if I've fallen into a place of darkness, well, here maybe Hashem won't notice me, and you know, doesn't matter what I do here. There's no such thing. Because even in the lowest of the lowest spiritual places, tzrichen liro es Hashem ma'oid ma'oid. A person has to have tremendous fear of Hashem and respect for Hashem. Ki bechol mekoymois memshaltoi. Because Hashem's kingdom is everywhere, everywhere. Hashem's authority. And it's this kind of attitude that made it possible for Jews that went through the Holocaust, for example, Jews that were in concentration camps, where every trace of spirituality was taken away from them, was denied them. They were denied their talis and tefillin, their kasha, everything. Not only that, after the religion was taken away from them, their humanism was taken away from them and denied from them. They were treated less than animals, mistreated less than animals, you know, the worst, lowest way. Some of them, because they knew this, because they knew that there isn't a place that a Jew can get to where it's over. It's never over. The only time it's over is when a person's dead. So long as there's any trace of life inside the person, there's still a connection to Hashem. There's still a connection, and there's still the ability for everything to turn around completely, as we see, as we know is the case. That's one example, or many other examples that we have throughout Jewish history of a person who fell to a very, very low place and was able even there to connect with Hashem, by connecting with Hashem, to eventually come out of there and get to a tremendous high place. The Gemara tells stories of a person, a Nevuzaradan, a butcher, who was sent by the Romans to attack the city of Yerushalayim. And he saw the blood, he saw a pool of blood on the ground that was bubbling, and he asked them, what is this? At first they tried to tell him that this is sacrificial blood. He looked at it and he didn't believe them. He said, oh yeah, I challenge you, I want you to bring some sacrifice here. I want to see if the blood's going to do a dance like that, if it's going to bubble like that. And eventually he forced them to admit that that was the blood of a prophet, a Jewish prophet, the Navi Zechariah, whom the Jews had killed, unfortunately, because of the fact that he was reprimanding them, and et cetera, et cetera. So this goy said, oh, I guess this blood is demanding revenge. I'm here, Nevuzaradan the butcher. So he took out his sword and he started killing Jews. Tens, hundreds, thousands. He said, first bring me, you know, young men. Bring me the Kohanim. Then he said, bring me women. Then he said, bring me children. He kept butchering and murdering thousands of people. And the blood still kept bubbling until finally he said, Zechariah, I've murdered the finest of them. If you want, I'll continue. I'll kill all of them. And at that point, the Gemara says the blood stopped bubbling and it seeped into the ground and it was quiet. So the Gemara says that this butcher, this goy, non-Jewish butcher, murderer, said to himself, hey, imagine if this is the kind of punishment that Hashem required for the fact that the Jew, one Jew was killed improperly, what's he going to do to me? What's going to be my punishment? And the Gemara says he went ahead and converted and did tshuva, and from his descendants came forth great rabbis of the Jewish people. Person would say, you know, what are you talking about? Here's a person who did such an unbelievable atrocity. Where? How is it possible? The answer is, so long as the person knows and realizes that no matter where you are, there is no place where Hashem is not there. There is no place from which a person can't reconnect with Hashem and correct, you know, and turn things around. If a person, as long as a person knows that, we've seen there are so many cases that the Torah gives us where people succeeded at doing this. The case in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah of Rabbi Elazar ben Nurdarya, a man who was a tremendous adulterer and committed sins with every single woman he could get to, and then came to one, a final one. He traveled, he had to cover seven rivers, he had to cross seven rivers, seven bodies of water to get to her and pay her an incredible price. And then when he got there and he was about to complete this act with her, she said to him, "You're like the breath that comes out of the mouth, out of a person's mouth. Just like a person, when the breath comes out of their mouth, it comes out and it's gone. It can never, it doesn't come back. So too, you have left your people in such a way that you could never go back." And the Gemara says he heard her words. He went out into the forest, and the Gemara says he prayed and prayed. The Gemara goes into detail what his prayer was, until his soul left him. And an announcement was heard coming from heaven saying, "Ashrecha Rebbe Elazar ben Durdaya, that you are entering into Olam Haba, you're entering into Gan Eden." So the Gemara says one of the rabbis who overheard this baskoil started crying, and he said, imagine, a person has the ability in 1 hour, in one moment of life, to correct an entire lifetime, not just correct an entire lifetime, but that they should call him rabbi, to earn the title rabbi. The Baskel said, "Ashrecha Rebbe Elazar ben Durdaya." And these are just some of many examples in the Torah where this message is being broadcasted very clearly. The next paragraph, paragraph 85, is based on the same chapter on Likutei Halachos that we discussed earlier. This time it's paragraphs 16 and 17. In this paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal makes reference to the story of Purim, where the situation that the Jews were in that time, the danger that they were in, based on Haman and Ahasuerus, and how eventually Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther HaMalka succeeded in saving the Jewish people. Omru Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha, our rabbis tell us, Kach hu darkoi shel hayetzahara, that this is the style, this is the modus operandi of the Yetzahara, of the evil inclination. Hayoim Omer lo yaseh kach. Sunday he tells the person, just do this little tiny sin, or just do this slight deviation from what's completely right. Ulamochor omer le'aseh kach, and tomorrow he adds a little bit more to it, and gradually, without the person even feeling that they're being drawn away from good, drawn away from holiness, the Yetzahara, the evil inclination, succeeds in pulling the person away. This is tied into what the Gemara says, that a sin drags along with it another sin. They come in pairs and they're connected, and one leads to the next. There's another pasuk that says, "Hoy moishchei ha'avoin bechavlei hashov." Woe is to those persons who are drawing sins with false ropes, with ropes of falsehood. Ubemes lefidarkoi shalayetzahoro imanoshim koela, she'enem izgaprim kenegde benureim, bevadai hoya efes tikvachas v'shalom leroiv hoilam. And the truth is that regarding most people who in their youth, when they're young, they don't succeed, they're not strong enough to stand up to their yetzer, to their evil inclination, on one hand, you would say, hey, forget it, they don't stand a chance. Because if in their youth, they got involved a lot in the Yetzer Hara and doing the wrong thing, and they got used to it. And one thing led to another and led to another, and the person ended up going far away from the right path. How in the world could a person ever come back? Kemo Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Mefanek Minoyar Avdoi V'chulu, etc. Talking about a person who treats themselves, you know, with pinuk, with all kinds of pleasures and luxuries at a young age, and the person is never, you know, never grows up to be able to handle the hardships of life, to be able to deal with the struggles the right way. However, Hashem has pity on us in every generation, throughout the generations, and He's always trying to help us that no Jew should get lost completely. V'usholeach siyua meleila, and Hashem sends us help from above, al yedei tzadikei hagdoyer hagdoylem hamitim, through the great true tzadikim of the generation. Shehem bechinas Mordechai, they are represented by Mordechai. They are symbolized by Mordechai at Tzadik. V'heim yoidim heitev ma'ashenasim kol echad v'yechod. And these true tzadikim, they know exactly what each and every single Jew is going through. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in the Megillah Esther, u'Mordechai yoda es kol asher na'aso. Mordechai knew everything that was going on. A true tzadik is one who really sees and understands and feels the Jewish people. He knows exactly what the people are going through physically, their physical struggles and their spiritual struggles. V'heim ma'oirim es Yisroel tshuva. And they're the ones who have the ability to inspire us to true tshuva. Bebechinas, as we see in the story of Purim, v'yetzei bas b'soi choyir, we're told that Mordechai Tzadik went out into the center of the city, Vayizak Zooko Gedoilo Moro, and he cried out a great bitter cry. Vehem Moidim Leklal Knesses Yisrael Shibachnes Esther Levaltisyais Shatzmum and Arachmim. And these tzaddikim, who are the concept of Mordechai at Tzaddik, they're the ones who convey to the Jewish people, who are symbolized by Queen Esther, they convey to her, don't give up hope. Don't worry. V'savoy lefnei ha-melech, try to come before the king. Afal pi shei rechoika kol kach, shalei nikra yislovei la-melech le-shalei shmiyim. Even though she told him, I'm afraid, I haven't been invited to the king for 30 days. Asher al kol ponim pamachas b'chodesh tzrichim Yisroel ha-hakbil pnei avim shebashamayim. We know that the Torah tells us that a Jew is expected at least once a month to have a major spiritual experience, you know, to come close to Hashem, to be makbil pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as we do when we bless the new moon. We go out there and we make a certain special connection to Hashem in the Birchas HaChodesh, in the Kiddush Levana. So when Queen Esther said to Mordechai, but I haven't even been invited by the king for 30 days, he understood that what she was implying was that at times the Jewish people are going to reach such a low where even more than 30 days are going to go by and they're not going to feel any special connection to Hashem. Afal Pikein, he said to her, despite that, Tzrichim lahakish al dalsei rachmim, you have to bang on the doors of kindness of Hashem. Ula Yochus, Ula Yerachim, maybe Hashem will take pity. So that in the Megillah Esther, when it speaks about the king, HaMelech, literally it's speaking about King Achashverosh in most of the cases there. Figuratively, many Sforim, including the Gemara, show us that the word HaMelech there symbolizes Hashem. So when Mordechai Tzadik advised her, go before the king and plead your case, he was advising her, go before Hashem and plead your case. Ad she'achar kach Knesset Yisrael mekabelas das ha-tzadik u'emes, till eventually the Jews accept the words and the advice and the encouragement of the true tzadik, Va'omeres, and we find Queen Esther saying, Uvechein, okay, after everything you've told me, I'm willing. Ovo el ha-melech asher lo kados. I'll go before the king, even though I'm breaking the rules. Because generally, a woman wasn't permitted to come to Achashverosh unless she was summoned. So she said, I'll go to the king asher lo kados, not following the rules. V'dorshu rabbeisenu zechron avrocha, and the Gemara says on these words, Sheloi kados shel Torah, meaning, even though I'm not following the straight law of the Torah. Ki ani yodea biatzmi shal pidas shel Torah, bevadai eneni roi lovei lefnei ha-melech hasbalafono. Because there are times when the Jewish people or an individual Jew is in such a low place that if the person would want to rationalize, am I worthy? Do I have the right to go before Hashem and ask for his help? No. According to justice, according to law, no way. I'm not worthy. Based on how many sins I realize I've committed. However, despite that, I'm going to go before the king regardless of laws, regardless of rationale. Avodati, and if I lose, I lose. Hainu imchas v'sholem enoy lerotzin lefonav tfilosi v'zboiridu siato meiriboy kilkulai, meaning that if Hashem will not be willing to accept my prayers because of the sins I've committed, because of everything I've done wrong, kasher avadati avodati, then if I lose, I lose. It's up to Hashem to do. Hashem can do whatever he wants with me. Despite that, ani tomid ayachel ve'etzak l'Hashem Yisborach, I will continue to plead and to yearn and to cry out to Hashem, ula yirachem, maybe Hashem will take pity on me. V'oz, and if a person has this kind of attitude, marachem Hashem Yisborach al Am Yisrael, Hashem takes pity on his people. Vayoshet Hamelech Liester es Shavit Hazov, as we're told in the Megillah, when the king saw her, he immediately extended his hand and his golden scepter. Ze soid heoro vaiskarvus miashem izborach shemagil famim lahodom anomoch moid. This represents the concept where sometimes, when a Jew is very, very low, feeling very low spiritually, Hashem extends, reaches out to the person, this golden scepter which represents a bright light of holiness, of kindness of Hashem. Shenimshach benes amo yisharbe, k'maim rav zenz avrocha. The Gemara says that originally Achashverosh only extended his hand and the scepter a little bit. Hashem made a miracle that his hand kept going and the scepter kept going to reach all the way to where Esther Amalka was standing. This tells us that even a person who's very far from Hashem, if the person is willing to listen and to accept the advice of a tzaddik, not to give up on themselves, but rather, despite everything, I'm prepared to sacrifice for Hashem. I'm prepared to nullify myself completely for Hashem. And the person becomes before the king of the world to plead. Then Hashem takes pity on the person and shines a wondrous light on that person from a distant place. Hashem shines upon that person a very high level of understanding, which comes from the highest place of Yira, the greatest, greatest level of respect for Hashem. To the point where even one who is very far from Hashem has the ability to get to a complete success in respect for Hashem, which is a concept of Yira and Das. It's a respect and an awe that goes together with understanding, through which a person is able to become truly close to Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now.